Together, we'll unpack the forces driving the authoritarian threat to our democracy, and I'll take your questions live. Join us at Teamsters Local 848 Hall, 3888 Cherry Avenue in Long Beach. More information and tickets available at kpfk.org, where you can click on the No Kings banner.
You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles. The time now is 1 p.m.
From the icy cold curves of Angeles Crest to the sunny shores of PCH and around the world on kpfk.org, this is The Car Show, broadcasting every Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles for over 52 years. So we have this abiding sense that we shouldn't screw it up. I am your humble host, Mark Vaughn of AutoWeek.com. I am joined this week and every week by my co-host, an attorney specializing in automotive law, a Motor Press Guild member, and owner of not one, but two Mazdas, a Miata, and an RX-8, Michelle Spencer. Welcome, Michelle.
Hey, thank you, Mark, and it is always my pleasure to join you and to keep The Car Show on the air on KPFK where it belongs.
For another 52 years.
Yes.
I'm still going to be here. So how old would I be then? I
don't even.
Well over 100.
Yeah, you can do it from the nursing home. It'll be great.
One tube going in the top, one coming out the bottom. Looking forward to that. Okay, last weekend, Michelle couldn't make it to either of these, but I was just enthralled by this. As you know, as you may have heard, as I may have complained about here, I have a Lancia Appia. So I kind of like Italian cars, right? I think they're just cool. They're all cool. I just like them. Who can say why? Who can explain why you like one kind of car over another? But this gathering in Los Angeles, this is now the third one. It's called Macanissima. So this is Macanissima 3. It was put on in this industrial space in downtown Los Angeles, and they gathered just the most amazing, beautiful, gorgeous cars there, and my car. My car was parked outside. They had two big indoor halls. One of the halls was all red cars. So you go in the door, in the front door, and you're greeted by the Alfa Romeo 33 Stradale, the new one, not the original one. I think that is just probably, I'm convincing myself here that that is the most gorgeous car ever made. I used to think the Ferrari P3-4 was the one, but this one's kind of similar to it. So that's the centerpiece there. And then you go, and to your left is a Maserati A6G, and there's a Maserati Camsin. When do you ever see a Camsin? Have you ever seen a Camsin?
Not in my life, no. Wow.
Well, they had one there. And so, a Lancia Aurelia Spider. So this whole room is just full of these beautiful red Italian gorgeousities and a couple of motorcycles, a couple of Ducatis. Our buddy, what's our buddy's name? I'm blanking on Bassam.
Wassam. Oh, yes.
He brought one of his Ducatis there and had it
nice.
Parked. And so it was all red. So they started calling it the Red Room. And one of the organizers said, oh, that sounds like Red Rum, right? From the movie The Shining.
Yeah.
Remember The Shining? Did you see that, Michelle?
Absolutely. And yes, Red Room was on the wall.
Red Rum. It was Red Rum. Erder spelled backwards, and the kid sees it in the mirror. So it's backwards. And so they sort of did a recreation of the elevator in that. And they, instead of all the, you know, the blood that they had coming out of it, they put red balloons around it. And then they had the picture. Remember at the end of the movie, they have the picture with all the people at the New Year's Eve party, and Jack Nicholson is down in the front in the middle. And they superimposed the heads of the three organizers of Macanissima on it.
Oh, well.
And then on a table right in front of it was a box of writing paper. And on each sheet of paper, there were hundreds of sheets of paper. All work and no play makes Jack
a dull boy.
Typed over and over and over again. That was just one example of the detail that they went into at this show. Macanissima 3. You can go to autoweek.com and see my pictures of it. That I don't even think the pictures do it justice. Maybe the words do. Who knows? But it was just I guess I like Italian cars. So if you like Tri-5 Chevys, you know, there's probably a show that you like that much. And if you like Fords, there's, I don't know, Fabulous Fords Forever is coming back.
I don't either.
Let's hope they're working on that.
It's been on a, what do you call it?
Hiatus
or a sabbatical or whatever.
It went to Hyannisport for a hiatus.
It's on holiday.
It's on holiday. So that was Saturday. And then the next day was the Art Center Design Invitational, which is this all, it was also pretty cool. And what that show is, all the Art Center alums bring cars that they have designed. So I think there are about, I don't know, 50 or 60 cars there designed by Art Center alums, and they had the actual alums there. So it was pretty neat to see all these cool cars there on at the Hillside campus at Art Center College of Design in Pasadena. A lovely day there. So that's just a couple of quick hits about mm-hmm. what I did last weekend instead of what I did last summer. So there you go. Now, coming up, what do we have, Michelle? We're looking into the future now. What's coming?
Do you want to go? Don't you want to go racing tonight?
Yes, I do.
All right. Well, then you need to go out to Paris because they're doing bias ply drags. Okay. So this is drag racing. This isn't the usual go around the oval stuff. They're doing a drag strip event from, it starts at 2:00. So right as soon as this show is over, you can get on the 15 freeway and head out to Paris. These are open only to pre-1961 hot rods, custom sports cars, stock cars, and trucks. Hey, this is a 1/16 mile drag strip.
That's 330 feet. Somebody did the math.
So
330
good.
Feet. So you light them up. You go. I mean, one of the stats that they list in NHRA is 0 to 60 feet. That's like an important thing to see how you get off the line. So it's a little bit farther than that, but it's not a quarter mile for sure.
But yeah, but exactly. But for this, you know, period correct, if you're going to actually require that, right. That's a pretty good distance for that period correct standard that's going to be in play. So this will be so cool because it mimics, the idea is to mimic how it used to be when they did improv type drag racing in the 50s and 60s up here in LA. It's open to vehicles before October 1968, it says. Interesting. So, all right, get out there, go to Paris and go see the bias ply drags.
All right, that sounds like fun. It's a little bit like, you know, the Race of Gentlemen, which they hold on beaches. Back east, they hold one at Wildwood Beach, New Jersey, and they tried to do one out here in Pismo Beach. And they just race on the sand, and nobody's even paying attention to who wins. It's just kind of like the whole spectacle. It sounds like a lot of fun. Paris Street Legal Drags.
Yes.
Tonight, and actually right now, from 2 to 10 p.m.
Exactly. Now, the October 68 thing that I mentioned, that's the trackside car show. So they will have a car show in conjunction with these drag races.
All right.
How fun.
That sounds like fun. All right. We're moving on. Last week, I did not go to the BMW cruise in at the Peterson. But if you want to go tomorrow, October 5th, the Peterson is having what it calls Los Angeles Diecast Club Cruise-In and Larry Chen book release. I looked around. I looked all over. I could not figure out what the heck this is. Obviously, Larry Chen has a book that he's releasing.
But we don't know what the name is.
We don't know what the name is. But there is this event going on at the Peterson Sunday, October 5th from 12 p.m. to 5 p.m. Peterson Museum again at Fairfax and Wilshire in the Miracle Mile, in the heart of the Miracle Mile. Tickets are $30 and up. You know, you can spend up to $115. Larry Chen is a really cool dude. He is a photographer, travels the world. He sort of made his fame shooting all of the Formula Drift races, and he's been doing that for as long as Formula Drift has been around, which is what? It's like 20 years now, up on 20 years.
Wow.
So he's done that, and in between, he's done videos. He's just a really good guy, so he's going to be signing his book there, I believe. So go to peterson.org. That's all E's in Peterson. Maybe you can figure it out better than I could, but I could not figure out exactly what it is. But it's going to be a good thing if Larry Chen is involved. And If you get down there October 5th, the Ken Block exhibit is closing on October 5th. So that's the last day down there. So they are going to give a tour of that exhibit on October 5th at 11 a.m. So you could kind of do the tour and then segue into the Diecast Club Cruise-In and Larry Chen book release.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And the, so, and the Ken Block exhibit. And when we were both up there for the Porsche Cruise-In, I peeped into the Ken Block exhibit. And yeah, there's race cars in there. His actual race cars are in there.
Yep. So yep.
If you're a fan of Ken Block, you need to go.
Yeah, millions, tens of millions of hits on those videos that Ken Block did. And sadly, we lost him. How long ago was it? A couple of years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Now? It's been a while. Anyway.
After the pandemic, right. Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry to next bring up. That up, but yeah.
Next up, what do we have?
Next up, also tomorrow morning, where will I be? Down here in Irvine at the Cars and Coffee at the Severstrom Shelby Event Center. That's from 7:30 to 9:30. It's a very tight window, so you can't be late. Sunday, October 5th. All makes and models are welcome at this Cars and Coffee. They have free coffee and they have free donuts from Duck Donuts in Newport Beach. Very good stuff and camaraderie. And then, of course, you can wander inside and take a peep at some of the Shelbys that are inside. This is at 5 Watney in Irvine off of Sand Canyon. You can, you know, I'll bring one of my Mazdas. I'm not test driving anything right now. So I'll bring the one of the Mazdas. Whatever that's one is the cleanest.
Mazda was once associated with Ford.
Yes.
Which was associated with Shelby. So, yeah, you can make a case for that.
I can make a case for it. People don't totally look at me weird.
Yeah.
And plus, I have a hat. They sell merch there, too, by the way. So I always wear my hat that says, you know, Severstrom Shelby Event Center Cars and Coffee, so that they know that I'm not a complete.
They think you're in charge.
Oh, well, yeah.
You can start directing traffic.
Right. But they're very nice people. And I love the Severstroms.
Good. All right. Yeah, they own half of Orange County. So,
yeah, you have to be nice to them.
All right. If you want to go out to San Bernardino and you have a motorcycle, the Moto Social is Thursday. This coming Thursday, October 9th, from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Bob's Big Boy in San Bernardino. The address is 4211 West Riverside Drive in San Bernardino. These are great fun events. They're great social events. You can ride out on a motorcycle. You can drive out in a car. They line up all the bikes, typically, you know, all together. And there's just some really neat bikes that people bring out. Last one I went to, talked to a guy for like a half hour. He did a custom that, you know, he wasn't like a Chip Foose or anybody. He wasn't at Centro Stile in Milano. He just did a cool bike that he liked. And there's a whole bunch of them there and everybody has a story and they're all happy to talk to you about it. So that's Moto Social Thursday, October 9th from 7 to 9 p.m. Bob's Big Boy, 4211 West Riverside Drive in San Bernardino.
One of the few remaining Bob's Big Boys.
Yep. Yeah, they have the one in, what is it, Toluca Lake, and that's on yep. Friday nights they have that cruise.
Yes,
in,
so. Yes, and I have my friend who has an RX-7 goes to that all the time. I told you about him. His brown one is called the Beast, so he takes the Beast there a lot.
Okay.
Because he lives in that area. But, yeah, and then you can get yourself a double-decker. Isn't that what they're famous for?
Yep.
There you go. And a milkshake. Don't forget that.
Diabetes on a plate.
Absolutely. Once
heart
in a while.
Heart disease. Whatever you can get.
And heart
it's
disease.
Worth it because they're so good.
Once in a while. All right. So if you would like to go and get your dose of Japanese cars, you need to go to Long Beach on Saturday morning, October 11th, from 9 to 2 at Marina Green Park on Shoreline Drive is the annual Japanese Classic Car Show. And can you believe this, Mark? 20 what? Years. This yep. show's been around for 20 years.
20 years.
And they've switched their locations. They've done what they could. It's difficult when you grow and grow. This thing is so big now. It is the biggest Kyusha event in the USA. So
now Kyusha means?
I have no idea.
I think it means like car enthusiast gathering or car enthusiast, I think.
Let's go with that. All right.
I read that once.
Well, what I'll do when I go, because I'm going to this, is I will ask and see if I can get an interpretation from someone. Okay, so there's a theme this year. 60 years of Brock Racing Development, BRE, which was very famous for the Datsun 240Z racing circuit. And you might remember, we did an interview earlier this year with Mr. Peter E. Brock, who was very, very involved with that racing circuit and was, you know, very knowledgeable on that. But, and guess what? He's going to be there. Good. And John Morton is going to be there.
John Morton, a great guy. Great guy. Mm-hmm.
And also some other members of the original BRE racing team, Joey Cavallari, Trevor Harris, Kirk Allegro. And we can expect, of course, because of the loss of our legendary Mazda Miata designer, Matano-san, we can expect some tributes to him to be present. And the other thing to be aware of is that they're spotlighting a couple of different Japanese car models, the Toyota Celica, the RX-7, and the Honda Z600. So if you want more information, go to JapaneseClassicCarShow.com. You have to buy a ticket, by the way. And I'm trying to remember, the parking is right across the street there at the convention center.
Well, they have a new place for parking. You don't go in the usual entrance where you would expect to go. It's actually just west of that. It's like a service road entrance. I don't know. They might have another thing going on there, but you'll see it. I think the best way is when you get down there on Shoreline Drive, instead of approaching it from the west, go down Ocean and turn left on the east end of Shoreline Drive and approach it that way. It seems like it'd be a lot easier, because otherwise you have to do a U-turn.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to be trying to do the U-turn. And
yeah.
Then, you know, it's going to.
That's ugly. All right. Yeah. Well, maybe I'll see you there.
I am hoping to be there. So, yeah, you can see both of us there. We've met a lot of listeners at car events, and they're always great people. We're always happy to meet them. Mm-hmm. So looking forward to that coming up soon. Let's see.
But there's another event that day too that Mark needs to get to up in Willow Springs. So let's see how he does it.
I'm going to go to the Japanese Classic Car Show really early, shoot a bunch of pictures, and then get in the car and drive to Willow Springs for the, what they're calling, I don't know if they're calling it the grand reopening, but they have done, go to autoweek.com, just Google Autoweek Willow Springs, and you can see pictures of what they have done. They paved a lot of runoff and painted it with green and white stripes. I don't know why racetracks feel they have to paint with distracting colors. Have you ever driven at Circuit Paul Ricard in the south of France?
No, sure. Mm-hmm, several times.
It's like Dr. Zeus did the design.
Oh, no. So it's a little wacky, huh?
You're driving around and there's all this. So they painted this. Maybe it won't be distracting. I think it should be a pretty cool event. And hopefully the track will be much better than it was before. They've totally redone the go-kart track that was there forever. And that should be really nice. They have some kind of partnership with Singer, a number of other entities. So that will all be explained in great detail. So I'm looking forward to that. Maybe they'll let me drive a Singer around Big Willow. What do you think? Give me a $500,000 car. Sure.
Sure. No problem.
Go as fast as you can on cold tires.
On a brand new track. Yeah. And I think they also upgraded the facilities too, as far as stands and, things like that are important to fans.
I'm looking forward to seeing that, because I think, we don't know if it's going to be like Thermal, where they're going to build all those multi-million-dollar trackside condos. It's not. Before, there was one guy living in a trailer out east of Turn 8 and 9, and I think that was the only guy who lived there. Everybody else, they lived somewhere else in Lancaster.
That sounds really cool. I want that job.
Well, we can find out what exactly their plans are. And so we'll have that information, we hope, maybe next. It won't be next week. It'll be the week after.
Mark will bring us all the details.
All the deets. All right. If you want to get an Italian, speaking of Italian stuff, I'm obsessed. I'm obsessed with Italy. Moto Guzzi Demo Day is Saturday, October 11th from 9 to 3. At Pro Italia in The address is 3319 North Verdugo Road, Glendale, California. Of course, Pro Italia sells Ducati, Aprilia, Moto Guzzi, just every Italian motorcycle you could imagine. It's a really cool place. The showroom is just fascinating. You just go in there and just wander around, and it's really neat. So they occasionally have little events there, and Saturday, October 11th is Moto Guzzi Demo Day. So you have to bring your helmet, your riding gear, your license, proof of insurance, and please don't show up drunk. All right.
Oh, never. Never. That's a non-starter, as they say.
Non-starter. All right.
Yes.
Michelle will take us to Torrance now.
Yeah. Oh, guess what? The American Honda Collection is doing another Cars, Bikes, and Coffee on October 18th. That is Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon. And this is another event. I just keep missing it, and I need to get up there.
I've been... Good.
Yeah, I know you went. Did you just enjoy it so much? I mean, I really am dying to go.
It's a lot of fun. I think they had, what did they say? They listed somewhere the number 3,300
people, yeah,
1,600 vehicles, 40 vendors. And, you know, it's fun. It's fun.
Yeah, it's a big gathering. So this one, they're going to have a truck or treat. They're going to do some Dia de los Muertos celebration things. And they're also going to have a theme called customization and fall fun for the Cars, Bikes, and Coffee. But what's really important to me, since I used to have a Prelude, is they're going to have on display, I think, some new, six generations of Preludes, including the new 2026 model. How about that?
That'd be neat to see. The naysayers are saying it's just a Civic, but don't listen to them. Don't listen to them, man.
No, go look at it.
All right.
Go look at it.
That should be fun. Say hi to Carl, our buddy Carl Pulley down there.
Of course.
Puts all this stuff on. It's October 18th, 9 to 12 noon. And we gave the address, yes. 1919 Torrance Boulevard in Torrance.
Yay.
Okay.
And yes, thank you for Carl for doing this, bringing this to life. Yeah, and keeping it going.
Yeah. All right. A couple quick things because we're over time on the calendar. Pomona Swap Meet, October 12th. Get there at 5 a.m. Get all the best deals. Formula Drift returns to L.A., the streets of Long Beach, October 17th and 18th. Radwood, SoCal, October 25th at the Port of L.A. And then there's a bunch of other stuff, but that's way off.
Wow. Yeah.
Way off.
We've got to move on.
You got to move on. Okay. We have a couple of interesting things in the news section. Again, at autoweek.com, you can go and see my story on this. It was, did you ever see the movie Christine? I mean, we talked about
this,
movie, The Shining. Now we're moving into Christine. It's just like,
I know Stephen King.
movie review hour. Christine, the guy who owned it, he fixed it up in a do-it-yourself shop. So you would rent a bay with a lift in it and some tools, and you would do all your work there because, you know, if you live in an apartment or something, you don't have a garage. You certainly probably don't have a lift to work on your car. So this new shop in Southern California, it's called Co Garage, COGARAGE. It's in El Monte. Let me find you the address. 4007 Baldwin Avenue in El Monte. It's called Co Garage. It's opened by this young guy named J.D. Veloz, V-E-L-O-Z. He says Veloz means fast in Spanish. So he's even got the right name for it. But he's this enthusiastic young guy. There are four lifts in there. You pay $45 an hour. They have all the tools you need. He does the lifting of the car. So that's not left to just normal people. I think as an attorney, you'll appreciate that, right, Michelle?
Very, very wise. Yes.
Yeah. That might be a part of the insurance that he has. And he does have insurance. I talked to him about that.
Good.
So, he's an interesting guy, interesting young man. He worked at American Honda headquarters for a while in what was it? Customer. He was the rep when you called in, you would talk to him. He worked at Carvana. He worked at Lucid as a mechanic and doing deliveries. So interesting, nice guy. Great facility there. Four lifts, like I say, If you think you can work on your car yourself, take it there to Co Garage. I think the address, the web address is cogarage.com. All one word, Co Garage. So check that out. That was fun. It was a fun thing. And if you want to read more about it, it's at autoweek.com.
Nice.
I'm throwing to Michelle.
To talk about the speed record?
I guess so, yeah.
The Papenburg track?
Yeah.
Which is not what I've heard of, but it's in Germany. What city?
Papenburg.
In Papenburg. Well, of
Papenburg,
course.
Germany. It's one of those high-speed tracks with the banked curves.
All right. So it's not a slow one like Nürburgring, where you have to go around tons of curves.
Nürburgring.
German sports car driver Mark Bessing piloted the Yangwang U9 Extreme Hypercar to a new global production car record. He clocked 496.22 kilometers per hour, translation 308.4 miles per hour.
And who did he beat? The Bugatti Chiron Supersport 300 Plus. Driven by, I think it was Andy Wallace, the sports car driver.
Dang.
So that sounds pretty interesting. And of course, the Yangwang U9 Extreme Hypercar is Chinese and it's electric. So there you go.
Yeah. Sub-brand of the very fast growing Chinese automaker BYD.
BYD.
If you have not heard of them by now, you should. You need to know who they are because they're a big player.
Warren Buffett is an investor. So
that's how you know.
That's how you know. Now, the thing about this is, if I may throw in some skepticism, because my old boss, Matt DiLorenzo, said there's a fine line between skepticism and cynicism. Okay, ooh. So we're dancing on that line right now. They say, Yang Wang says, they are going to, future tense, build 30 units. So that they're calling it a production car. They're calling it a record for production cars. But so many little small-time supercar makers say, oh, we have the production car record. Well, how many have you made? This one. But we're going to make a million of them. You know, Porsche said the same thing with the 917, although I think they did make 50 of those. Ferrari said the same thing with the GTO back in the, 63 or whenever that was. And I think they made, famously only made 36, 37 of them. I'm not sure. But anyway, we wish these guys well. Looking forward to seeing 30 of these.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's nothing more tenuous than the term production car.
Yeah, especially if they haven't produced it yet. Maybe they should change the rules for these records and say, if you haven't already produced them, you can't say that you have a production car.
Well, that's the thing. Nobody's keeping track of production car records. Mm-hmm. It's done by press release. Mm. So,
and if these ever get stateside, I'm sure there's going to be 20 of them in my neighborhood.
I'll
let you know if I see one of these Yang Wangs. And
I stole one at Goodwood a year or two ago. Yeah. It looks pretty cool. It's longer than you think it would be, so it looks like it would be stable. And you only have to do one lap. So there you go.
Well, good luck to the Yang Wang bros. And
Yang Wang, you
and if I can do this without laughing, I'm very proud of myself that I
good.
I didn't laugh. Okay.
Okay.
Moving on.
Roadster news.
We have Roadster news. There were two items of Roadster news this week. All right. So one is a rumor and one is a fact. The first rumor one is Toyota and Mazda. As you know, Toyota and Mazda have already partnered up. They have a manufacturing plant that they opened, I believe, about 3 or 4 years ago down in Alabama. And they have been producing, in fact, one of the cars that you drove, Mark, recently,
right.
Toyota Corolla Cross, is one of their collab. And let's see, what's the other vehicle that they produce there?
Oh, the MX-30 or something?
No, the CX-50. Okay, so that's
50, thank you.
Yeah, the Mazda CX-50 is the companion car basically to the Corolla Cross. So it's a small SUV.
But they don't share parts or anything. They're just made on the same line.
Right, exactly.
Same production line. Right.
And this helps streamline costs for both of them. Well, guess what? Out of Japan are rumors that the next planned joint venture product here is going to be a shared platform for a new Toyota GR86 and a new Miata. And a representative for Toyota, and this is verbatim, and I'm not making fun of them. We cannot comment about speculation about future product per Car and Driver.
That's what they say. And in fact, I independently contacted both Mazda and Toyota knowing that they would say that, and they said it. So this is for a 2028 collaboration, you know, 2028 model year. So it's way out there in the future. There was a magazine in Japan called, I think, Best Car that sort of started it. And it was just kind of like, even they were saying this is wild speculation. But that would be a good idea to collaborate to make this. And I would hope that they could get Subaru in on it too, because that's more fun little roadsters for us who like fun little cars, right? And you can't justify the development cost for this on your own, because they only sell, how many do they sell a year? I mean, it's like 10,000 or something. It's not a lot if you aggregate over 10 years of per model year. So it makes a lot of sense to collaborate to build this. And as a result of this, is how we got the Toyota Supra, was by just sort of rebodying the BMW.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know,
yeah.
I think it's a good thing.
I also really like that the Mazda is helped by Toyota. Like, they allow them basically to use their hybrid technology in their CX-50. And maybe we'd see a hybrid Miata. Could happen. That would be nice.
I don't know.
Hey, it's 3 years off. They have time.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Now, Tesla. All right. You might remember an eon ago, the very first Tesla model was the Tesla Roadster. And then in 2017, Mr. Musk had an unveiling of the second gen Roadster and said he was starting to take deposits. And so we had news this week about a YouTuber named Marquez Brownlee, who goes by MBBHD on YouTube, and he's a tech guy. He put down $50,000 on his Tesla Roadster that he wanted to get, this 2.0. Well, it's been 8 years. Now, this was promised to come out in 2020, and I get it. We had the pandemic. There were all these problems getting things here. But 3 years later, 5 years later, it's still not on the ground. It's not in showrooms. It's not order. It's not coming. So this guy decided he wanted his $50,000 deposit back. So he goes on the website. He tries to cancel it on his account. He can't cancel it. They give him a phone number. He gets a voicemail. He gets the runaround. Some young guy told him on the phone, and he finally got someone that they would take care of it, and they didn't. So he basically, he did everything except sue them. I mean, he's lucky he didn't have to sue them, but he finally got his $50,000 back. But this is a big news item because it spotlights that this vehicle has been promised for so, so long. And there's nothing about production forthcoming, except for Elon Musk recently said that he would unveil 2.0 by the end of this year. Well, okay, it's September. No, it's October.
It's October.
Yeah, the end of the year is approaching. It's, you know, 90 days away. I'm just glad for this fella that he got his money back without having to sue. So,
well, now I got to say, I was at Tesla when they unveiled the Roadster. It was a big surprise because they did this whole song and dance about the electric 18-wheeler, right? And I don't think we have seen that either.
No.
But, you know, then everybody thought it was over and people were starting to mill about as they do after these things. And then all of a sudden, like, the music comes back up and this Roadster comes in and everybody's like, what? It was a really nice looking car. And they had some great stats about it, how fast it would go, how long it would go. And I think one of the most interesting thing was that it was going to be a rocket assisted, which wound up just being compressed air. So there would be a compressed air tank that would get pumped up as you drove. And then you would have this high pressure gas, which I assume would just be like air. And then when you go to launch and you're going to beat the guy next to you, you flip the switch at the right time and the rocket, well, it's sort of a rocket. It's air blasting out the
blaster.
Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. And so that was supposed to be on it too. And then they could also use that compressed air for cornering. So it would go out the side as you're going around a corner. It would go out the front as you're braking. There's just lots of great ideas there. And as Michelle just said, nothing.
Yeah.
Crickets. And lots of them.
And there's lots of fun comments about this story. And one of them said, if he had taken his $50,000 and invested it, just for example, in Tesla stock in 2017, he would have made $1 million.
What? No.
Yeah, the stock at that time was like, you know, $22 a share, and now it's $240 a share. And then where was the, oh God, there was another just great comment. God, it was so good. Here it is. Some guy says, the Roadster will never go into production. And then another guy says, oh yeah, it will. It'll be slower, more expensive, and with half the options that were announced, but with five times the hype. Burn.
Yeah, I don't know why these things take so long, because I just don't know.
Yeah. I mean, like Jim Farley was just interviewed. He's been doing a lot of press. And he said, yeah, we have like a 5 to 10 year cycle. This is way through 5 years. And, right. And you know, arguably even close to 10 here.
Right.
So what's his excuse? Well, maybe he had to do the Cybertruck. Maybe he had to do the diner in Hollywood.
I ate there. Good burger.
Yeah. Oh, they scaled back the menu. Did you hear that?
Yeah, they did that like the next day or something. I think everybody just said, no way can we do this. So I'm going to go back to that. I might go back tomorrow and I'll have maybe an update report on the Tesla diner there in
yes.
Hollywood.
Yeah, I want to see if they still have the robots giving out the popcorn.
No, that was there just on the press
for the day.
On the launch day.
Okay.
And from what I've heard, it is not there. But I did see it, and it did, you know, scoop the popcorn and put it in the little popcorn sleeve, and it handed it to people and then waved at them.
Yes, so. And I heard that if you messed with it, like you actually educated it to mess with you, it would mess with you back.
Like mess with,
like
talking to it or?
No, teasing it.
Like what, doing the Three Stooges poking both eyes out?
No, just making hand gestures or kind of being rude to it. It would be rude back to you.
Oh my. Yeah. So they didn't have guys there standing right next to it ready
right.
to stop you from trying to knock it over or something. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, let us know how it goes. But yeah,
I'll try and make it because I have to get one of those. If you get a burger to go, it comes in this cute little foldable Cybertruck box that is just adorable. And our copy editor back in Detroit wanted one. So, you know, if I want my stories to not have errors in them, I've got to get him one. So I might swing by tomorrow.
Yeah. We'll and see. I heard that it was cuter than the actual Cybertruck.
Oh, it definitely is because the proportions were different. It was much wider and flatter. So I don't know. That's always good. Make something wider and lower, right?
Of course. Should go faster.
All right.
What else do we have, Mark?
Let's segue into the review section. Now, both Carl and I, Carl's not here today. We don't know where Carl is. Carl, if you're pinned underneath the wreckage, signal on, I don't know.
Yeah, send a bat signal. We'll come get you.
Send a bat signal. Michelle will come and get you in the RX-8. So we were both at this Tesla trip, and they introduced a bunch of cars there. And we've reviewed them and written about all of them. And this is the last one of that set of reviews. And it was held at Sonoma Raceway in Northern California. NoCal, as some people say. And the last car is the 2026 Toyota GR86 Yuzu Edition. Now, Michelle, do you know what Yuzu is?
No, I do not. What is it?
Okay. Well, it started off with the definition. Yuzu is a unique aromatic citrus fruit, highly prized in Japanese cuisine for its complex flavor and fragrant zest. Often described as a cross between a lemon, mandarin orange, and a grapefruit, it is used in everything from sauces like ponzu. Do you know what ponzu is?
Yes, I've had ponzu. Hype.
Oh, good. And spicy yuzu kosho to desserts, teas, and winter bath rituals. I don't want to know what the winter bath ritual is.
Mm-mm.
But so anyway, but the problem is that, you know, that it comes across kind of as lemon. And lemon means, you know, not a...
Oh, we can't have a lemon. No, no. Yeah.
But they, so does citron in French. Citron means lemon.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there you go. But this is not a bad car. In fact, this is a very good car. As I found out, I wasn't able to do even a full lap. They had us doing, pulling into the pits. So we'd set out from the pit lane and really get up to speed, making that left turn on turn one. And we got to do all of the track until the pit exit, where we had to, of course, exit the track and come back in for another lap. Now, I thought that was interesting. I'll get to the details about the car here, but here's one thing that I found out subsequently is that some internet commenters have said that the Toyota GR86 has a problem with the center diff overheating. And so if you do more than one lap, it will, in fact, according to them, I don't know. So this is, what is that in legal terms? If I say something that somebody else said, then it's not hearsay, but it's something. Anyway,
it's hearsay.
Maybe it's hearsay.
It is
hearsay. That it will overheat, and that's why they only let us do less than one lap around Sonoma. I don't know if that's true or not. So we're going to get sued, Michelle?
Oh, no. We're good.
Okay. Anyway, the car is painted in this screaming yellow Zonker yellow paint to go with the Yuzu theme.
Oh,
it has these really nice black 18-inch wheels. And, you know, let's just say off the top here, we talked about the Miata and the 86 maybe collaborating. Let's be glad that car companies are still making these cars. So this is a 4-cylinder front engine rear drive car. And that is what we say we want. So we have to get out and buy these things or they will stop making them.
Yep.
So, okay, I'm off the soapbox.
Well, did you have a stick shift?
Yeah, I think it was a stick shift. Yeah, it was a manual transmission.
Nice.
So at its heart, this car is an 86. It's a Toyota 86/ Subaru BRZ. So they take that and do a few things to it. Now, this vehicle weighs 2,811 pounds, which is really nice. So if you look at some other specs, that is lighter than a Porsche 911 ST, Porsche 718 Boxster, or Cayman. Mm-hmm. It's even lighter than a McLaren 750S.
Wow.
Now, those cars, you have to understand, have like four or five times the horsepower of this car. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is a fun, lightweight, tossable car, this 86. Have you driven one, Michelle? Either the 86 or the RZ?
I loved it. I had several of them back when I was doing the show in San Diego, and loved them. They were great cars. I had a green one, and I think I also had a yellow one. Very low to the ground, good center of gravity, a lot like the Miata. You just throw it around the curves. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and I have manuals in those.
Okay. So this one has a 2.4-liter 4-cylinder boxer making 228 horsepower, 184 pound-feet of torque. That means that each pony has less than 10 pounds of Toyota to push and pull around, which is a pretty good ratio. So, and if you had one of these, there's a bunch of companies that make aftermarket turbo kits for it. Those things cost like almost $5,000. So keep that in mind. But as it is, no turbo, you can get from 0 to 60 in 6.1 seconds with the manual, 6.6 with the automatic. That's interesting because usually the automatic is quicker. But this might not be quite a performancey automatic, though you can paddle shift it. I had the 6-speed manual, as I said. The 6-speed automatic is their Toyota's electronically controlled automatic, ECT-i. Whatever transmission you get, you get the Torsen limited slip differential in the back, which, I mean, you just check all this, all the specs on this, and this is exactly what everybody always says they want, right?
Exactly.
So that's already something of a performance package, but they all come, all the Yuzus come standard with Toyota's performance package. That is the package made for the 86. So you get a fun car that's even better in stock. The package includes Brembo brakes. I don't know how many. Should I list all? Okay, 11.6-inch front discs, 11.4 rear. You get four piston calipers in the front, two piston rear. You get Sachs nitrogen dampers that control the ride at all four corners. Now, nitrogen means that it reduces the amount of foam as the shocks are going up and down, and sometimes it foams up and makes the shock less effective. If you put pressurized nitrogen gas in there, it addresses that. You get those black 18-inch wheels. They're 7.5 inches wide. You're riding on Michelin Pilot Sport 4S tires, 215-40s at all four corners. Those are really grippy. Remember the first tires that came out with the 86, which at the time was called the Scion FRS. Mm-hmm. Those were the skinny, what were the, it was the Prius tires. So it slipped and slid all over the place. It was fun. I kind of like those tires, but these are much grippier. So
I have those same tires on both of my RX-8 and my Miata.
Okay.
Very good.
Good. They are. They're fun. And they're sort of lower rolling resistance, so you get good mileage out of them. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
Oh, I was going to ask about the like interior features or, you know.
Let's see. I'm looking for that. Let's just, I'm ready to talk about the driving.
So go for it.
Anyway, my first drive was from the hotel in Napa to Sonoma. And it was not too harsh for that. It was not too harsh for street driving. It was taut, you know, T-A-U-T, but it wasn't harsh by any means. The electric power steering has a 13.5-to-1 ratio, which is, that's pretty quick. That's quicker than, like, I think your typical generic car is closer to 15 or 16-to-1. So 13.5-to-1 is a faster ratio. And then we got to go out on the track, and I took my manual transmission in. I enjoyed shifting that car. It was easy to do. It wasn't vague about where it went in gear. It wasn't as good as something like, you know, BMW manual transmission or something, but this is a lot less expensive than that. And the peak power comes on at 7,000 RPM, but you get all the torque by 3,700 RPM, which means that you get response from this engine, you know, pretty much anywhere you are on the tack. And that's a good thing, because some cars, like, consider the Honda S2000. You remember that? You got to drive that, I'm sure, Michelle.
Yes. Yes, sir. I did.
You didn't get anything out of that engine until you were up over 9,000 RPM.
Yeah. You had to get it on its tippy toes, as they say.
Right. Yeah. So this one has a much broader power and torque curve or curves. So, you know, it's good. You can engage track mode, and you can even switch off VSC, vehicle stability control. I always leave that on just so that I don't become infamous for spinning out.
Yep. Same.
Yeah.
Always.
But I did appreciate these tires. They are very grippy, and they held on. The Sonoma has this one turn six called the carousel, which is a really long left-hand turn that's downhill, and it just held on all the way through that. So, you know, that was fun. It was a fun drive, and I got to say, I did like it all the way. And then, after I did my driving, they had this this young, polite young man who had just won the GR Cup. There. There is a race series for GR86s that Toyota, I guess, sponsors or is somehow involved in it. And this young guy, Weston Workman, a 19-year-old mechanical engineering student from Charlotte, North Carolina. He was there with his race car giving laps. And, you know, I thought I was pretty quick, right? He was roughly, I would say, twice as fast as I was through a lot of these corners. And I'm like, don't you have to slow down before you're into this corner? And he's going, just go through it. It's fun. It was
lots of screeching, I'm sure. Oh,
yeah,
good.
The price, you can get a GR86 with a manual transmission. The cheapest one in the 86 line starts at $31,995. That's including destination. This particular limited edition Yuzu, it's limited edition because only 860 will be made. See an 86, 860.
Of course. It yes.
Starts at $37,560 for the manual, $38,660 for the automatic. It is on sale right now. So don't hesitate. You think you might buy one?
I'm not in the market, but I would definitely love to go harass someone and get a test drive.
Yeah, or maybe call Toyota and they'll
let
you drive it.
Maybe
we've already reviewed it, so
Christine might let me have it next year.
It's fun though if you do get it. Have a
good
time in that.
And Carl had any different impressions than you did?
As far as I know, I don't know why. Again, we don't know why Carl's not here, but he probably had a good time too. So I'm speaking for him since he's not here. All right, next car, an electric car. So this is the opposite. Here we have a very sporty car that's relatively inexpensive, and we go to I wouldn't say it's not sporty, but it's not made to be sporty. The Polestar 3 is an electric SUV that I still have in the driveway. Have you driven any Polestars, Michelle?
Not in the context like you are with press. I just went to the Electrify Expo and got to drive one there, but they were with a rep, you know.
That's still counts. I mean, so which one did you drive? Do you remember?
It seems to me like it was a sedan.
The boxity sedan. So the Polestar 2.
Yes.
I think. Remember the first one?
2 or 3 years ago.
So. Yeah. The first one was the Roadster, not Roadster, the Coupe. Mm-hmm. That one looked great. And it actually even drove pretty well. It wasn't completely sorted out. I think they could have just spent a little bit more time working on that one to make it handle as well as it looked. So they came out with that one. That they didn't make too many of those. Then the Polestar 2 was the sort of the boxity, sedan-y, notchback-y thing that is still on the market. And now I just got out of a Polestar 3. Now, this one that I had is the single motor one. The Polestar 3 is the single motor variant. It's sort of the entry level rear wheel drive model. The starting price is just under $70,000. So you could get two of those GR86s, maybe three for that. Whoever's good at math can figure. No, you can't get three. But you could get two. It offers the longest range of all the Polestar 3 trims with an EPA estimated range of up to 350 miles. Now, so far, I haven't driven it that far, so I can't really tell you what I got on it, but sort of extrapolating the range based on what the last guy who had it, it was less than that. It was 200 something, but I hope to maybe next week I can tell you an updated range. But the EPA estimated range is a pretty good thing to use if you're considering buying a car. You just, you know, because this is a very scientifically arrived at figure. It's not somebody who decided to drag race at one part of the loop and then drove really slowly. And then, you know, they go at a prescribed speed on a prescribed loop to come up with this. So if they say 350 miles, if you're driving slowly and cautiously, I would assume that you can trust the EPA, and that would get you.
Yeah, and sometimes when you drive these, you find that the EPA was actually conservative on it because of the controls that they have, and that when we get it out in the wild, we can get more out of it than they said.
Okay. All right. The powertrain is a single 295-horsepower electric motor that drives, as I said, the rear wheels. and it makes 361 pound feet of torque. And of course, in an electric car, you get all that torque as soon as they you step on the pedal. So it has a 111 kilowatt hour battery pack, which is pretty big. Anything over 100 kilowatt hours is pretty big. I always like to use as an example my Mitsubishi iMiEV, which has a 16 kilowatt hour battery pack. Mm-hmm. They're saying that acceleration 0 to 60 is 7.5 seconds, which is, you know, for what this thing is, it's more than enough. Ride and handling, it's got a lighter front end. It's nimble, but again, I haven't had the chance to really thrash it, but I got to say that looking at it, I was impressed with the design. So the Polestar 1 or whatever they call that thing and the Polestar 3 have good designs. And I think we have seen future Polestars after this and their designs are nice. So the Polestar 2 kind of stands out. I don't want to say it's a sore thumb, but it is not as attractive as these other models in the lineup. So if you buy this one, you will be in good shape styling wise. Now, charging, it can fast charge from 10% to 80% in 30 minutes. They say approximately 30 minutes at a 250 kilowatt DC fast charging station. So have you charged an electric car, Michelle, lately?
Yeah, several times. Yes. I either go to the public charging near the bagel shop by my house, which is free, or I use my charge point. And because there's some charge points around here. So
the bagel shop is, I'm guessing, a level 2.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. They're not going to give free level 3 charging.
The shopping center sponsors it, right? It just happens to be right next to the bagel shop. So it's a good excuse to go get a bagel. Oh, I have to charge. I'll go to the bagel shop.
I have the Polestar 3 plugged in at, I have a level 1 and a level 2 charger here. I have the level 1 plugged in there. I don't know why I'm doing that. I should have done the level 2.
If it can make that half hour, right?
Yeah. So the charging network out there is getting better, right?
It is. You know, it's little by little. And even here in Irvine, where we're so far ahead of everyone else, I'm not seeing as many being put in, new ones put in. I feel like now the private employers are putting them in. I'm not seeing them in the public areas. Like there's been a Tesla one that's always busy around here. And then, of course, you see your charge points and your other ones. But
The Tesla NACS chargers are going to, and we have less than 45 seconds here, the NACS chargers, North American Charging Systems, seems to be the current dandy, and they're putting it in just about everything. Okay, we're down to 30 seconds. Michelle, tell us what the name of our Facebook page is.
Yeah, it's called The Car Show on KPFK 90.7 FM. And I know it's a mouthful, but it's worth the search.
It's worth the search. Like and subscribe, as they say.
Yeah.
Hopefully next week we will find out whatever happened to Carl. Hopefully he's not pinned underneath the wreckage of his press car. I'm sure not.
With Habit Burger hanging out of his mouth.
Habit Burger hanging out. So stick around for Rhapsody in Black, music that sounds great on your car stereo system. And we, certainly Michelle and I, possibly even Carl, will see you again next week on The Car Show.
Hey, this is Brad Friedman of The Bradcast, heard right here on KPFK. Sometimes when you listen to the station during a fun drive, you might feel like we're not talking to you. Maybe you feel like your contribution would not be enough. Well, I'll tell you a secret. Every contribution is really important, especially right now. Whether it's a single $25 gift, installments of $10, $20, $50 a month or more, every listener's financial investment is valued. You depend on us to stay abreast of the news of the day, to know what's going on in our community and in our world. Also, to offer great music and cultural programming. And we depend on you to help provide the funding that makes it all possible. Every pledge is important. Every donor is important. no matter what the size check is that you are writing. So please call 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-KPFK, or go to kpfk.org and pledge securely online. We appreciate every contribution, especially yours.